Hi.
Hi.
I've missed you.
I've missed you.
No, I've missed you.
I mean, two things can be true, okay?
I suppose you're right.
I suppose. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wonderlust Podcast. We are back again.
Finally. Oy, oy, oy. It has been.
Okay. also, due to some technical difficulties that we have experienced, our part two of Paranormal and Supernatural is going to have a delayed release date, but it is
TBD.
TBD. Yes, it is TB the fuck D. All right.
I'm sorry, guys. That's entirely my fault. I don't know what was going on with my computer, and I couldn't figure it out. And then my life just sort of, like,
flashed before her eyes.
Yeah. So things are a little crazy, and I just couldn't handle it. I'm so sorry.
No need even to apologize. Computers suck sometimes, so we're blaming them.
Yes.
Fuck that, guys. No, really. But not actually. We wouldn't be able to do this without you.
I know, right? And also, please work for this recording.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. But yeah, so how are you, sister?
I am, like, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, too. I've missed you.
Fuck yeah! Missed you too. Guys, these past couple weeks have been super difficult for no reason, except for a lot of reasons. But like, we're okay. We made it through. And then what did we find out, Sarah?
That
what did you learn me? What did you teach me this week?
Well, my poor sister was explaining to me all of the terrible things that have happened, and I was also explaining back to her all the terrible things that had happened. And I was like, but hopefully it's all over now because Mercury was in retrograde until 6 p.m. on the 22nd, I think it was, when we were trying to record and still having issues.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. And my response to that, I hate being a fucking cliche.
Which we do. Okay. And I will say, every time I see the, like, the stupid articles from, like, Refinery, and they're like, okay, guys, get ready for this retrograde, I'm like, this is not, it's just made up, guys. Stop. It's not real. And then the fucking retrograde hits and, like, shit like me getting stuck in an airport for 2 days or, you know, all other manner of fucking
just weird, chaotic crap.
Bullshit. Yes.
Oh, sorry, that was loud. But, yeah, I literally could not even. And it's like, the thing is I don't even see articles like that, but I always see it, like, someone posted on Facebook randomly. They're like a meme. They're like, can't wait for it to be over. And I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Wait, did you see the meme that I sent you?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
We'll post it to our Instagram because, it's necessary.
Oh my god, it so is. It so is, but I hate it. Yeah, I always find out after I'm like, why is it so difficult to be alive for like 3 weeks? And then someone's like, thank god, Mercury in retrograde is almost over. And I'm like,
god damn it.
I wish nobody said that because it just makes me feel so terrible. It's like I'm like, okay, now I feel kind of valid, but then I'm also like, but also invalidated because.
Is it just because of the planets? Like, why?
I know, right? Ugh. I know, right? And I was talking to a person about this, and they were like, do you really believe in all that star shit? And I'm like, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to argue with it.
When this shit happens.
And might I remind you, I'm a literal werewolf. I draw blood every full moon.
Yep. God.
So I'm a little more connected with the stars, I might think.
I don't know. It's so funny that you say that about that person, because, like, every time I'm like, I don't know if I believe it, it's probably not real, like, it's just probably in my head, and then the retrograde, you know, they're like, oh, it's coming up, and then I'm like, no, it's fine, everything's gonna be fine, and then it's just, like, small fire after small fire, and I'm like,
yeah.
No, not even small fire, sorry, dumpster fire after dumpster fire, and I'm
it's like that dog, with the little cartoon dog, everything's burning, and he's like, this is fine.
Yeah, exactly. That is
and
exactly.
It's always when I'm at that point that I'm like, that I find out, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't even, that son of a bitch Mercury. Always fucking with our shit.
Yeah.
But I do also kind of feel like it's like the tarot episode, you know, when you're you were telling us about, what was it, Jessica Dore, the Instagram?
Yeah.
And she, you know, was saying like how the reason why these things are so relatable is because there's a little piece of that in everything.
Yeah.
In each card. So I kind of feel like, because when I see those, like, what's your sign, like, TikToks, but, so I follow this one singer, the Christy Lee. Mm-hmm. Her Instagram is the official Christy Lee, if you're curious, but she was doing all of the signs, singing, like, a verse in the song, What's Your Sign?
I love it.
And, but it's like, I could, you know, if I woke up one day and they were like, you're a Capricorn, like, I wouldn't know. I relate to some Capricorn shit sometimes, you know? It's like, I relate to Leo shit sometimes.
Every time I see Virgo shit, I'm like, goddamn, that really does suit me.
I mean, I do. I see it. I see it all. Yeah, honestly, I do think of you a lot when I see the Virgo stuff.
I send it a lot to Dale, actually, because we both were like, yeah, that's us.
I met a girl at a bar last night, and I forget what she said, but she said something, and she was like, oh, she said something about, like, being around people or, like, hating people or something. And she's like, oh, but I don't mean it. Like, I mean, I don't hate everyone. She's like, I'm a Virgo. That's what she said. I don't mean it. I don't hate everyone. I'm a Virgo. And I looked at her, and I was like, my sister's a Virgo. I get it.
It's actually funny, because I was talking with somebody, and I was like, we're talking about Geminis, and, like, I was on the plane when we were driving back, or flying back, and Evie was like, yeah, it's my birthday, and this lady's like, oh, it's mine too, and we're Geminis, and blah, blah, we're just extra, and I'm like, yeah, I know, both my mom and sister and daughter are all Geminis.
That also, she was, like, asking me, like, when my birthday was, and I was like, oh, I'm a Gemini, and she literally, her response was, oh, so you're fucking crazy. And I'm like,
okay, this you guys are crazy fucking, though.
That is literally what people say though. What? And I'm just like, yeah, no, that's a lot of the memes. A lot of the memes are like, oh, these two-faced bitches. And I'm like, maybe we're just,
you know who's crazy? Fucking Libras. Like, do not like
fucking Aries actually.
Aries too. Sorry, Dustin.
Not all of them. not all of them. See, and that's the thing. It's like, just because you're hurt by a specific person doesn't mean that everyone who was born in that month
Libras
is that person.
Nope.
You know?
I stand by that.
Why? Oh, someone's a Libra, huh? Someone's a Libra. Yeah, I know. Obviously, there's a reason why I don't like what? Yeah, I don't know. I still stand by, you know, that people are just people, you know, and they're not like I'm not the spokesperson for all pansexual white Irish Puerto Ricans. You know, nor is one terrible person the spokesperson for all Libras or Capricorns or Scorpios or Geminis. And it's like, and everybody hates everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've been seeing a lot of like real hard Capricorn shit lately where it's like people are just shitting on Capricorns. And I was like, I've never heard of this before.
I like Capricorns.
I know that literally Geminis are like the ones that are always shit on because I swear to God, that encounter in a bar is not the first time that fucking shit has happened. I don't know why I keep telling people my star sign. Like, fuck off. No, my star sign's my star sign,
it's
and I don't have to disclose it to you.
It's
like
not star sign, but anyways.
Are they different? Is that...
Yes, it is.
I guess. Okay. I do find it weird that, like, there are some star/sun/zodiac signs that I don't meet, you know? I mean, I don't ask people when their birthdays are, but I rarely, you know, if you're friends with someone long enough, you find out when their birthday is. Obviously, you're going to get them a present or, like, go to their birthday party or, like, something. Or at least, at the very least, send them a post on Facebook, you know?
Like, I don't meet very many Tauruses, and I honestly don't meet very many Sagittariuses either. That one...
That's what I was just... I don't meet a lot of people that were born in December or January.
Those are
maybe
Capricorns.
Maybe that's just because...
What,
are those?
Well, Capricorns...
Yeah, Capricorns
and
Sagittarius.
Aquarius is the end of January, because that was...
Yeah, like, or November, like, I think I just don't, I don't, I mean, again, so I don't ask everyone their fucking birthday, but, yeah. like, I don't get, you know, in the summer, let me tell you, I have, like, 12 people having a birthday on the same day, and I'm like, I just, isn't being your friend on Facebook enough? Yeah. Like,
for real, though. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Love to you all, everyone, always, but. Yeah. Unless, yeah, no, I'm not even gonna go to. Unless you fuck me over. Fuck you.
In that case, fuck yourself. Wait, what did you say? Go fuck yourself? Gently? Gently. That's so yucky. Ew. That sounds like a good t-shirt idea, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, go yeah, fuck or like yourself a necklace on the front or something. And then, like, gently on the back.
Mmm. Ew, yeah, wait, but what if, no. What if you're walking behind someone and yeah, you just no, see the no. back of their shirt and it just goes, gently.
I regretted that instantly.
Oh, shit. Oh,
God. So, yeah. Sorry. Gently just... on the back. That just now worries me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little worrisome, but...
Ooh.
All right.
So this what are we talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about, Sarah? Aren't you talking about something?
We are talking about...
You might have something to say.
I have a podcast. I always have something to say, apparently.
There it is. There it is. I'm like, I finally learned to like the sound of my own voice.
Dude, that's a real thing, though. Somebody was telling me that recently. They're like... Yeah, you have a good voice for a podcast. I'm like, honestly, up until we did this podcast, I hated my voice.
Oh, yeah. I heard my outgoing voicemail message the other day because someone lost their phone. And so I called them and they had it on speakerphone. And I was like, oh, my God. It was an instant flashback to when I recorded it. And that's when I was trying to get a new job, which is, you know, still valid. But,
but still, it brings back all of those...
It's, like, extra cheery and, like, extra bubbly. And I'm like, oh, shit, that sounds...
so yucky.
So obnoxious. Hey, you've reached Emily Ray.
Please leave a message, and I will get back to you. You do sound very cheerful, though.
I know. It's upsetting.
My favorite voicemail message that I had was when I would do the fake answering. I'd be like, hello?
Remember all the bullshit you used to put on your outgoing voicemail? Remember when we used to be funny?
I know, right?
No cares.
I know. And the only reason I changed that... No responsibilities
either.
Which I should change it back, because it's not like too many people call me anymore. It's all like text mail. Or if they do, and they leave a voicemail, they probably deserve to get that voicemail message. But yeah, my outgoing voicemail...
I'm like, you're talking exclusively to me. I leave you so many unnecessary voicemails.
Yeah, that's true. But my favorite was when Dad would call and get that, and it got him every single goddamn time. And so I had so many voicemails from him being like, change your stupid voicemail!
That's like, hilarious.
God damn it! And like, hang up. Like, yes. And he was like... Some other people would be like, haha, whatever. But, man, I kept it for so long purely because of his reactions. So long.
That's how you get someone to leave a voice message in 2021 now. And, like, literally, they call you. And they think that they're talking to you, but then they're so fired up at the point when they realize, they're like, I have to tell you, fuck you! I forgot why I was calling you, but I know I need to say, fuck this.
And you know, that's a good way to get me to listen to a voicemail now in 2021 also.
See yeah.
The ridiculous reactions.
Yeah, that's a hot tip right there.
Oh, God. But yeah, so this week we're going to talk about history and true crime. Do you have true crime? Well, I guess I technically have true crime in mind.
Their crime, or the police get involved.
So, yeah, that was true crime. So, yeah, we're talking about history and true crime. And would you like me to tell you what I'm talking about? Oh, my God. I guess not.
I can't move. I was just trying to scoot forward. And I was like, there's nothing in the way. Why can't I move?
You're anyways. Stuck with me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I keep, like, fidgeting. It's a really bad problem I have. Would you like to know what I'm going to talk about?
Yes.
The Wild Wild West.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting that song into my head now.
That was on purpose. I really wanted to, I should have looked at, like, the lyrics and tried to, like, poorly sing it, but.
All I can hear is, like, Wild Wild West. How does that song go?
We're going to find out. Will Smith.
Oh, wow, wow.
Oh, God. I love him so much.
How does the chorus go?
I don't know. We're going to get there. Nope. Sorry, skipped it. There we go. Hey. Oh, God, I miss him. Okay.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. I was like, I know there's, like, a catchy, like, riff in there.
Okay, so I'm talking about today the gender nonconformists that were in the Wild Wild West, and how sort of they were erased from history, and a lot of people don't really know about them.
And it is an emergency. We need to know about this now, because it is an important part of queer history, and, yes.
That was a perfect way to tie that in. I love it.
And it's true. So, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. So, so the first story I want to tell is about a man named Harry Allen, and he was one of the most notorious men of the Pacific Northwest, or a.k.a. the Wild Wild West. For historical context, I'm going to mention his dead name in this story.
So Harry Allen is a trans man?
Yes. And there is an article and a couple of articles that consistently refer to his dead name and misgender him. I found a quote that says that Harry prefers to go by he. So it's that's the gender pronouns I'm going to use. So hopefully I'm doing this right. Promise I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to do this as best as possible. Best? Trying to do my best.
Consciously, yeah.
Consciously, yes. So, Harry Allen was born in 1882 in Indiana, and his parents had named him originally Nell Pickerel. That was his set name, okay? In 1894, the family moved to Seattle, but his family was very supportive. And Harry was allowed to wear boys' clothes and pursue more typically masculine interests from a very young age. I found a problematic article that claimed that he had been abused and knocked up at a young age and had a child, and that's why he turned to men's clothes. But I feel like one, there was only one source that I could find that said this. And two, I feel like it's a really shitty way of trying to explain away why he was trans.
It's just trying to invalidate and further erase, like, queer people
instead of
that historical context.
Yes, and instead of, you know, just acknowledging that maybe he was just living as his authentic self. And there doesn't need to be some fucking terrible thing that happened for him to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah.
And in all the articles that I did find, his mother was very supportive. His mother often defended him after he had run-ins with the law and even testified on his behalf before a judge. However, Harry was known as a troublemaker and was in and out of jail for theft, bootlegging, vagrancy, etc. To be honest, he was probably paid more attention to because he was trans. He refused to wear women's clothes, he cut his hair short, and dressed as a cowboy. There are many articles that consistently referred to him as Nell, his dead name, instead of Harry Allen, to which Harry obviously took great offense about, and he was very outspoken about not being misgendered. An example from the Spokesman Review, the article title was Nell Pickerel Denies Her Sex, Woman Who Dresses in Male Attire, Start Story, She Is a Real Man. And so I wanted to bring that up too, because like,
and what year was that?
1911.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I wanted to bring that up, too, because, like, one, Harry's just trying to live his life. Like, just let him be. And, yeah, maybe he was a bit of a troublemaker, but I have a feeling he probably came up against, you know, a lot of fucking shitty-ass attitudes regarding just him trying to live his life. And then with these articles, they're basically just using...
I mean, I can't even imagine that in that time period. You know? It's like, it's even hard to imagine, like, living, now, you know, authentically in these days.
Yep, let alone, you know, 100 years ago.
Exactly. So that's, yeah.
And he was in the papers a lot. And honestly, the papers just used him to make a quick buck. It was a easy, scandalous article that they knew would get views every time. You know what it reads. Yeah. I guess it's not technically views for a newspaper.
Well, you're still viewing it. I know,
but still. But it was it's a cheap fucking way to make money off of this poor guy trying to live his life, right? So that's why I bring that up. And there were several names he did go by, possibly to avoid the law. Harry Allen was the main name that he used. He also used Harry Livingston, and at least once there's an instance of him using the name George Allen. Again, his mother was very supportive, and she always used his chosen name, either in person, like to him, or when she was trying to get him out of jail or in the courts and stuff, she always called him by whatever name that he wanted to go by, which I just think is super heartwarming. Just makes me really happy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, to see her son as a person and as the person that he is.
Instead of is how she wants him to be or how society wants him to be. Yeah.
Again, I was literally at the doctor's office and there was a Dr. Phil episode with a trans woman and her mom and them going back and forth. And it was just so intense. The like, hatred and like misunderstanding and like or just refusal to even understand or accept their own child was just so it was
disturbing.
Just so
yeah, I'm sure it was fucking disturbing. Like that just
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely you know, and there I mean I'm just, you know, there's so many people who don't have that experience. So it's so interesting when you read or when you find out things like that happened like 100 years ago or whenever, and you're like, wow, that's, you think like, oh man, I can't believe that was that, like that person, you know,
but
was like that.
But
in
they're
that
still
time
like
period.
That now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like we think that we've come so far and it's like, no, we just have rectangles that tell us what to do now. Yeah. We're pretty much in the same fucking boat as we always have been.
Yeah. So Harry had a lot of odd jobs. He was a waiter, a hotel clerk, a bartender, a bouncer, ship hand, and a cowhand. He was also a skilled fighter and boxer, and he was an aspiring professional fighter, and often fought
people had so many special skills. I know, right?
And he often fought the police whenever they tried to apprehend him. I wanted to note that they made a point to say that he used quote-unquote street fighting tactics in his fights with the police, i.e. biting, throwing rocks. I also like to imagine, like, some good old crotch shots, you know. And they sort of, in these articles, they tried to, like, paint it as, like, oh, you know, dishonorable. Like, fucking A, no. Somebody was coming after me like that, fucking I'm gonna get away whatever way I can. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw rocks. Bite them hard. Kick them in the crotch.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like biting, like, you have to be a special kind of fucked up to, like, bite someone and, like, mean it. Because I just can't.
If somebody was coming after you like that, fuck, I would do that shit. But
then they're, like, in your mouth. That's true. It freaks me out. It's like, man. It's like, I hate to do this, but I have a really bad issue with, like, you know, if food goes bad and you're like, oh, what do I do with this, like, 3-month-old soup that I forgot about in the back of my fridge? And you're like, oh, well, I should just dump it down the toilet, you know? I don't have a garbage disposal. Maybe some people do this and they just put it down the garbage disposal. I would much rather that because I'd much rather hear the grinding of metal
stuff
than it like
plopping,
you know, plopping. Again, it's so upsetting. Why did I bring that up? I forgot.
I don't know, but that noise is also now like seared into my head.
It's just,
it just makes me think of like vomit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways.
Sorry.
So good old Harry was reportedly a ladies' man, which, you know, does not seem that surprising to me, because I have a feeling he's probably better than most men of the time. Like, it's not that difficult, I would imagine, to be much better than the men of that time who just...
I mean, I don't know how much men accomplished back then, but it sounds like Harry was running circles around him in all kinds of ways.
Exactly. However, there are several reports that Harry Allen's, or a bunch of... Okay. However, there are reports that several of Harry Allen's romantic partners took their own lives, reportedly 4. I'm not going to go into the details of these reports because... Because
they're highly problematic?
Yeah, they're all pretty similar. And, you know, basically the reports claim that the women ended their own lives because they found out that Harry was transgender. And to me, this seems like a narrative that's implied by the sensationalist newspapers and the misunderstanding and hate towards trans folks at the time.
Yeah.
But it's just, it doesn't seem... To me, that just seems shitty. And he was already super outspoken. He was already in the papers a lot. And there is, for sure, at least one, possibly 2 reports that due to shoddy reporting and other bullshit, at least one, maybe 2 of the stories was fabricated by a reporter in Seattle for an easy paycheck. So, like, it's definitely not out of sight of the realm possibilities that these were just fucking... easy lies to tell the public so they could make a quick buck with the newspapers. You know what I mean? And like I said, the papers really enjoyed reporting on the quote-unquote strangeness of Harry Allen and his refusal to dress like a woman. Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not going to go too far into that because I think that's bullshit. And, you know, they're also disputing claims.
It's just so upsetting, too.
Yeah, well, and there's also disputing claims because, so, you know, the newspapers will be like, oh, well, they found out that he wasn't a real man. But then there's other ones, they're like, no, no, they definitely knew. So, like, it's, I think it's sensationalized it's bullshit. We're going to say bullshit. Yeah. In 1911, Harry was arrested for selling liquor in Spokane, Washington. This was the first time he was held in jail for a longer period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
During his time in jail, they tried to make Harry wear women's clothes and undergarments. And this excited the press and the public to the point where there were at least 5 fucking newspaper articles published about the situation.
God, people are so fucked up.
While he was in jail for only 2 months... wondering whether or not Harry had put on a skirt yet. Like, wow. During this 2-month period, there are 5 newspaper articles about this shit. It's just stupid. And so the police chief tried to make Harry put on female clothes at some point, and they threatened him with solitary. But Harry, being the badass that he was, stuck to his guns and remained in his clothes for the entirety of his stay at the jail. So, go him. In 1912, Harry was arrested for vagrancy, quote-unquote. and sentenced to 90 days in jail for it. I would like to note that vagrancy is a super vague charge, that it's implied in these articles and just in general that it could stand in as just arresting him for not conforming to traditional gender norms. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. saw him on the street, he's not doing what they think that he should be doing, so yeah, let's fucking write you up for vagrancy. Like,
for existing?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in 1908, Harry Allen gave an interview to the Seattle Sunday Times to tell his side of the story. He's quoted as saying, "I did not like to be a girl, did not feel like a girl, and never did look like a girl. So it seemed impossible to make myself a girl, and sick at heart over the thought that I would be an outcast of the feminine gender, I conceived the idea of making myself a man." And I would also like to, like, point out that I think that it's really fucking brave that he went to the same newspapers that were fucking ridiculing him and making so much money off of him and just trying to live his life to go and, like, tell his side of the story. You know what I mean? Like, I can only imagine how shitty the fucking newspaper reporters were about, like, "Oh, yeah, you're a man, huh? And how come you're not gonna wear women's clothes? And are you possessed?" I'm sure that probably came up. Or
fucking probably. Fuck.
You know, like, so I can only imagine the kind of, like, vitriol that he
faced on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's just, it's upsetting. And he definitely, like I said, he was an outspoken person. He equally outraged and fascinated the public with his brash personality, his foul language, his fighting, and penchant for drink. Which, like, I mean, I identify with a lot of those things, so.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think I outrage and fascinate the public. Maybe outrage. Probably not fascinate.
Oh, man.
Just probably lightly annoy the public. Outrage and fascinate the public. And after his, rash of run-ins with the police and arrests and stuff like that, he did end up dying of meningitis at the age of 40 in 1922. So, that is Harry Allen. But Harry Allen was far from the only trans man out west. There's another person. It's unclear what their preferred pronouns are, so I'm going to refer to them as they.
Okay.
And you're gonna see why in a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. This person is referred to as Berta Martin and Bert Martin. So, they were born in 1879, okay? There is this historian at Washington State University named Peter Bogue, who is the author of the book called Redressing America's Frontier Past, which sounds like a badass book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bert/Berta comes up in his book, and Bogue, he thinks that Berta was born with ambiguous genitalia. That's why I'm saying Berta.
Why are people so obsessed with genitalia? It's like, I cannot even handle how that is a fucking thing. Like,
So, the reason why they think that they had ambiguous genitalia was because they were arrested for dressing both as a man and a woman. So, regardless of what clothes they were wearing, they were arrested for impersonating whatever sex they were dressed as.
I can't even handle or gender. That. I can't even handle that. Like,
yep.
I literally...
Also, side note, so, as my sister knows.
And I can't handle it because it's like, why are the cops obsessed with your fucking genitalia? Why do they have to be obsessed with that? Why is that a thing arrestable ever?
No.
Yes, why anybody? But it's like, it's criminalized. Being in your own body is, in this situation, a criminal act. What the fuck,
so
people?
I have recently become obsessed with TikTok. I have found myself on a queer TikTok a lot. And I follow a couple of really cool transgender men on TikTok. And one of the things that comes up the most is, like, people asking them, like, about what's in their pants. And, like, thinking that that's okay. Why would you ask anybody that? Ever?
Like, not once has anyone been like, oh, so your nipples are brown, right?
Like, yeah, like...
And can you imagine? Like, I just can't even. Why do people have to comment on each other's bodies? Like, anytime anyone comments anything on my body, I'm like, could you fuck off? And I can't even imagine if someone was assaulting me with such specific and intrusive fucking ignorant-ass questions. Like, I cannot even.
Yeah, I was watching some videos last night, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're transgender. So, do you have a penis then? Like, did you... I'm like, why does the word transgender mean that you have the right to ask about their privates? You shouldn't be asking anybody about their privates ever. Didn't you learn, like, basic fucking manners?
No, obviously they didn't. Like, no, they don't. No one does. That's, like, walking up to... It's just so ridiculous.
Like, I just... Like, think about how it's inappropriate for you to walk up to a woman and be like, hey, what's your bra size? And, like, is your vag, like, stretched out after childbirth? Like, that kind of shit is not okay either.
That is also true, and that does happen. But also, here's what I think is, like, you know, this society was built in this country, okay? We are the, you know, result of white men fucking off from other white men who are already infiltrating every fucking corner of the world and, like, forcibly, you know, removing people from their... Anyways, just doing a bunch of fucked up shit. Then they were like, oh, we're gonna come over here and we're gonna do things our way. And it's like, and when you... obviously, duh, everyone knows the story of America. But my point is, like, you know, guys talk and joke and reference dicks so much, and it is so openly accepted for a man, you know, or for a cisgender, you know, white man who's heterosexual to talk about their dick in explicit detail, and no one reacts and no one says anything. They joke about it. They're like, you know, and it's like being of that level of, like, privilege and existence and, like, having to be in a locker room situation. And of course we're talking about, like, literally cookie cutter Ken doll Chad, yes, vibes, okay? You Chad know is the stereotype of Chad, you know what I mean? It's like, obviously, anyways, but it's just like we're talking about this specific stereotype and how it is perfectly accepted to just openly comment about that shit. And it's like, and that is the person who has the most privilege in society, you know what I mean? So it's like, of course this is gonna happen because of how fucked up everything is, but it's also, it is so fucked up. Can we stop it? Like, can we just not? Fucking not, like, ever, please? Like, anyways.
Yeah, so that's why I said they, because, like I said, they were arrested for impersonating both a man and a woman, so it didn't matter what they fucking did. They were gonna be arrested and called, you know, a fraud or abomination or what the fuck ever, right?
Oh my god, yeah.
So I'm gonna refer to them as Bert, though, because Bert was in a majority of the articles, but so for their name, okay? So Bert said that as a child, they felt like they were not more than half a woman, okay? And in 1901, they were about 20 years old. They were arrested for stealing a horse. 11 months into their sentence, the prison folk, I don't know, fucking police...
The people who work at the jail? I don't know.
Correctional officers, maybe? That's probably correct. Yeah. The correctional officers discovered that Bert was not, quote-unquote, really a man. Their cellmate insinuated that if the guards, you know, probe more into the situation...
That the guards should frisk them.
Yeah, basically.
That they should assault them.
Yeah.
So that way they would understand...
They would find out they
how
were not.
Their genitalia is affecting me as a person. Yeah. Like, fucking fuck, people are just... Anyways.
Yeah, so a lot of people... A lot of the articles... This was, like, a huge sensation in at the time. This was in Nebraska, okay? Mm. In 1901. And so several of the articles mentioned that their name was, quote-unquote, Lena Martin. But I don't think that's actually, that's not correct, because the names are actually either Bert or Berta. But Lena Martin could have been their spouse. Mm. It's just a little unclear. So anyways, the cellmate goes and tattles and says, hey, you should go check their pants, basically. And the jail discovers that they are not a real man. And so they made them put on women's clothes and serve out the remainder of their 3-year sentence in women's clothes and in the women's division. It is also noted that when Bert was sentenced, a woman believed to be their wife, possibly Lena, stood by them when they were sentenced, right? But the public was outraged that this could have been the case, that, you know, they were there in the men's ward for 11 months. And, you know, how could this have happened? Because they're supposed to get frisked and bathed and inspected when they're, you know, in process into the jail, right? They ridiculed the physician at the jail. And they also, you know, there were tons of articles ridiculing and calling Bert, like, horrible names, right?
Wow.
The governor of Nebraska at the time, Ezra P. Savage, said that they, meaning Bert, was a sexual monstrosity unfit for association with men or women, even in a penal institution, and on the solemn promise of his aged mother to care for it and guard it, and the prison morals imperatively demanded its removal, and the sentence was commuted to 1 year, 6 months. So they shortened the sentence so that they could get them out of jail sooner because they said they were a sexual monstrosity. Unfit.
Wow. What?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That is for existing.
Yeah.
For existing in the body you were fucking born in.
Yep. That happened. Apparently, Bert thought it was funny. And so, go them. And they were released, and then in 1907, they were married and, quote-unquote, lived happily ever after. And that's pretty much after that. That's all I could find about Bert. I'm hoping that they went on to live in peace and quiet for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these stories of Bert and Harry Allen, you know, these are far from the only stories. There were many reports of people who journeyed out to the Wild West in search of a new life to live as their authentic self. And these people were often people who did not conform to traditional gender norms. So Peter Bogue, the historian at Washington State University and the author of Redressing America's Frontier Past, he says, my theory is that people who were transgender in the East could read these stories and that gave them a kind of validation to their lives. They saw the West as a place where they could live and get jobs and carry on a life they couldn't have in the far more congested East. It's not that people were more accepting of trans folks, but that life was more unruly, which may be why more people could live their lives according to their authentic selves, right?
And survive doing so.
You know, there was a lot of crime, there's a lot of other issues, nobody really paid as much attention. I mean, obviously they paid some attention if there's these news articles and stuff like that, but it seemed like it was a little bit easier for them to get away with it, right?
Yeah.
However, tabloids and historians easily explain away trans men as part of the rough life on the frontier. It was already a land dominated by men, and it oppressed women, so it would make sense that women would choose to change gender roles in exchange for more freedom without a queer motive, right?
Yeah, because the only motive anyone has is to take it all away from the white man. Yep. That's our motive. We couldn't possibly just want to exist for our fucking selves.
Yep, exactly.
Fucking Christ.
And the argument is that, you know, like, oh, well, it was easier if you dressed like a man, like, you'd get better jobs, you wouldn't be harassed, blah, blah, blah. All of which are true, but I don't super love the idea of, you know, that doesn't mean that these queer stories didn't exist. You know what I mean? It makes it seem like that's the only reason that that happened, when there are these stories of, you know, queer trailblazers, honestly, out in the West. And there were other and there were other stories just about gender nonconformity in general, but I specifically wanted to talk about the trans people that I found and their stories and what they had to put up with out there. Yeah. And so, yeah, these stories are often left out of history books, but there are hundreds of newspapers, articles, and stories of people living as their authentic selves that and as the gender not assigned to them at birth. And Peter Bogue, again, is quoted as saying, "As the frontier closed and the Wild West disappeared, these people who found a life there, found validation, also disappeared from our history." Because, you know, it wasn't compatible with the civilized
idea. Well, it's all about perpetuating the same narrative, so that way the people who are in power remain in power.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what the angle is, you know? It's like, there's an agenda, and we're not on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the story of Harry Allen and Bert Martin. Bert. Yeah.
Wow. Harry and Bert. Bert and Harry.
Bert and Harry. Some fucking ballsy-ass trailblazers.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love hearing about, like, you know, it does give me, like, hope, you know? It does give me hope to, like, hear stories about people in history who are just, like, and I don't fucking care. And like,
I know! And it's... I
fucking love that. It's like...
Yeah.
I love that, okay, okay, this is gonna sound fucked up, okay? But I was going to say, I love that that was reported on. Here's why, okay? If we didn't have these fucked up articles
about,
there would be no printed history about queer people.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is problematic as fuck, but unfortunately, it's like going back to the history of, like, the origins of this country, truly, a lot of the history comes from that sensationalist media.
Mm-hmm.
And without those articles, we would not have those stories. You know, I mean, sure, they would be passed down by people. We would have them in that sense. But to have it actually as, like, no, this was happening, and we're going to talk about it because we didn't talk about it, and look, here's the fucking proof.
Exactly.
Like, can we stop pretending like this isn't, you know, part of society? Can we stop treating things this way, you know?
Well, and that's why I wanted to point out and mention that, like, Harry... You know, it's in an art. It's in a newspaper article, so it's like, you know, in history now, of him telling his side and being like, no, this is why I did this, and this is who I am.
If we didn't have the clickbait Seattle Sun Times, we wouldn't fucking know.
Yep.
My story actually is directly also very close timeline.
Really?
And it is directly like. How this story came out today was from finding articles in an archive.
That's so funny, because I got several of mine from, like, archived newspaper articles, too.
All right.
So tell me a story.
Well, this story doesn't start with Channing Gerard Joseph, but, like I said, it is a wonder how we would ever have heard this story today without him. Channing Gerard Joseph is a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. And back when he was a student at the Columbia Journalism School, he discovered what he says is a startling cutting from the Washington Post in their archives from the late 1800s. So the article that he discovered was a report from April 13th, 1888, which detailed the arrest of a group of black men dressed in satin ball gowns who had been, quote, discovered dancing together, a.k.a. existing as a group, just a few blocks away from the White House. So... at the center of it all was the self-proclaimed Queen of the Ball, William Dorsey Swan. And that's who we're talking about today.
Okay, love it.
Yes. So when that arrest happened, the one that was reported on April 13th, 1888, the National Republican also reported on it, and it was titled, "The Queen Raided. Unexpected interruption to her banquet and ball. Her Majesty shows fight with policemen. In the contest, her handsome dress was torn off."
Oh.
All landed in the station house.
Wow.
So Swan had reportedly ran up, like, when the police came in. Channing Gerard Joseph uses he pronouns for William Dorsey Swan and is an LGBTQIA historian. Wrote a book about him. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that he probably knows about this person. So I'm going to use he pronouns,
mm-hmm.
Because he uses he pronouns. So Swan reportedly ran up to meet the officers, you know, to defend them.
Yeah.
And said, "You is no gentleman." And then fought them to stop them from arresting people.
Yeah.
And that's when they tore his dress off.
Mm.
So, while to us that might just sound like cops being cops, this was the first known written report of violent resistance in the name of LGBTQIA plus rights in the United States.
Aww.
Yeah. So it's a big deal, you know, and yes, was this a sensationalist article to get people to read bullshit about someone that identified and lived their own lives differently than what society deemed was correct? 100%. Yes, sensationalist media. But, you know, this is such a big deal because, you know, Stonewall is thought to be, like, the pivotal moment of, like, the first time. But that mentality just contributes to queer erasure,
mm-hmm.
when you don't look farther back in history,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really, you know, yeah, I mean, just that. So, anyways, so, even though that was the first written record of a drag ball being held in the United States, this was not the first time that Swan was arrested for the cause, nor was it the first time that he had held a ball. He was arrested 6 years prior to this incident, which was in 1882, for stealing plates, silverware, and other party supplies. And so this was when Swan was 24 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even before this event came to light in the media, drag balls had been going on in secret for years.
Yes.
Invitations to these drag balls are said to have been whispered to young men at the YMCA, which the YMCA was founded in 1844, and I just find that it just... I didn't know the YMCA was so gay. I didn't know that. I read that and I was like, what? That makes me so happy because I feel like it's such a... Anyways.
No,
I don't know.
That totally makes... That's awesome. I love it.
Just like, fuck yeah. Where else are you going to find the young men?
Yep.
Okay?
That's true.
And police had actually raided one of Swan's balls almost a year before that, which was on the night of January 14th in 1887. The Washington Critic reported, and this is a direct quote from that report, "Six colored men dressed in elegant female attire were arraigned in the dock at the police court this morning on a charge of, quote, being suspicious persons."
Ugh. I do like that they said...
a little look to the camera that doesn't exist here, but, like, fuck.
But I do like that they said they were in elegant attire.
Like, we're suspicious of you because your outfit is so on
point. Yeah, right? Like,
what is this magic?
You're suspicious because you look too good.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah, the article goes on to say they nearly all had on low neck and short sleeve silk dresses, several of them with trains, corsets, bustles, hose, and slippers. Everything that goes to make a female's dress complete. So, like, yeah, a little bit of, like, credit where credit is due.
I know, right?
Like, y'all look good. We're not sure if that's allowed, but...
But, yeah, you look super nice. Also, they put on the corsets? Ugh.
All of it, yeah. Despite the press printing the names of all of those arrested and further endangering the group to future raids or endangering them to simply being targeted by anyone who didn't approve, Swan's gatherings continued.
Yes.
No police involvement. It was going to stop William Dorsey Swan from having the ball. You know, the balls featured folk dances and songs and included the wildly popular cakewalk, which is still a part of drag balls today.
That's awesome.
It was, yeah, it's like this is where it all started. It was named the cakewalk because the best dancer was awarded a hoe cake or some other confection. A hoe cake is because I didn't know what that was, and
I don't know, but I want it.
my immediate thought, of course, you know, was, is that me? Is that what I? am? But no, a hoe cake is a coarse cake made of cornmeal, and it's sort of made like a pancake. You know, the pictures that I saw were like in sort of like an iron pan. There is like conflicting sources that are like, oh, well, this there. Okay, there is a common belief, I'll say, that is that they were originally cooked on the blades of gardening hose.
Okay. I was wondering where the hoe came in.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. It looks kind of similar to like a silver dollar pancake, but like sometimes they can take up like the whole pan.
Okay.
Kind of just like a cornbread pancake. But like Rhode Island is like out there trying to take credit for like the origin of the hoe cake. They're like, we invented it. And I'm like, I don't, okay. yeah. So it's like, it said that it was first, the term was first coined in 1745 and was used by American writers such as Washington Irving and Joel Barlow. I don't know who they are. Probably should have looked that up. Sorry. I don't care about them. But the name, they were saying that it was like an iron pan called a hoe. I don't know. So it's like conflicting. Some people are like, oh, you looked it up?
I looked up hoe cake and it looks like pancakes, so now I'm just going to call pancakes hoe cakes forever. Like, that's the new name. Pancakes or hoe cakes.
Yeah.
And waffles. Yeah. Waffles can be hoefuls.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I like how the alternative name also for hoe cakes is Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, and Shawnee Cake,
yeah,
too.
So interesting.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think of, like, a name for a waffle. Like,
You don't like my hoeful idea?
I don't know. I am drawing a blank, so I'm just gonna breeze right past that. If I think of one, I'll maybe mention it later. Back to William Dorsey Swan. So, we're going to address the timeline here because William Dorsey Swan was 24 in about Washington, D.C. area in 1882.
Okay.
What was going on then? So this is right after the Civil War.
Yeah.
William Dorsey Swan was born into slavery in 1858 on a plantation owned by a white woman named Anne Murray in Hancock, Washington County, Maryland. Swan was the fifth oldest child in a family of 13, and his family remained on that plantation until 1864, because Maryland was not a part of the Confederacy. Their slaves weren't freed by the Emancipation Proclamation, and Maryland didn't free its own slaves until a couple of months before the 13th Amendment was ratified.
Wow.
And 1864 is only 4 years after the house that I am currently living in was built. It was not that long ago. It was not that long ago. This house was already had been lived in for 4 years.
That's crazy.
This house, like, fuck, yeah. So I just, like, literally can't. Although there was something that I read about Channing Gerard Joseph about how he has his, like, great-great-grandfather's, like, or I think it was, like, the papers that he was, like, sold as in a market.
Yeah.
Framed in his, like, office of, like, to show, like, this is not that fucking... Yeah. I mean, well, obviously, to show many things, but, like, also, it is not that long ago.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. So, Pierce Lafayette was his... what the papers say, his intimate friend, but probably his partner or just someone who went to the balls, undetermined. But he had a, quote, elegantly furnished home, which was the site of the party in 1887, when was that first article in January, when that, you know, when they were like, oh, hey, we stumbled across these queer people existing and, like, fuck them, right? Let's arrest them.
We don't like that. We don't.
Right? Like, Jesus.
Want to put up with that nonsense. Ugh.
Yeah. I just, like, peeped my bag in the corner that says this bag holds my gay agenda. And I'm like, why have I not been using that every week when I go to comedy? That needs to be my bag for all times. Yes. But anyways, I digress. Now, Pierce Lafayette was, that first article, you know, is the first documentation, I guess, you know, of William Dorsey Swan's, you know, existence in the scene and holding a ball, yes. But the second article, the one in April 13th in 1888, is the pivotal point where it is clear that he fought the police, you know, and stood up for his right to gather as, and their right to gather nice as parties. A queer community.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Pierce Lafayette had also been born into slavery and was enslaved in Georgia. Lafayette had been owned by Alexander H. Stevens, who was the vice president of the Confederate States of America.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, not, but also, I mean, obviously. Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... I didn't know there was a vice president of
Yeah, I didn't either, to be honest with you.
That was also, I have to, I'm sorry for all my, to be fair, I did not actually take American history in high school. And that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
But I avoided it because I hated it because it was stupid and it was dumb. And it's like you're just learning about problematic shit in the sense, and it's glorified. So, yeah. Yes. I don't think, up until this moment, I ever saw Confederate States of America. Written out. I was like, that was a thing? Is that what they called themselves? That makes sense. The Confederacy, right? The Union, the United States of America. First time I had that fucking thought. That's how much I paid attention. And then I was like, there was a vice president? Like, they were organized?
They were organized.
They seemed so barbaric. Like, God.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
Anyway. So Channing Gerard Joseph, you know, published an article about William Dorsey Swan, you know, found the article about William Dorsey Swan, has done all of this research, is writing a book, which I'll mention later, and, you know, wrote in his article, which is on The Nation, the actions of Swan and his followers were particularly significant in light of 19th century attitudes toward masculinity. In post-Civil War America, there was very little patience for men who subverted gender norms. So he referenced some quotes to illustrate this, and one of them was by Abraham Lincoln, which reads, "Go forth without fear and with manly hearts."
Yeah.
And just basically that a lot of the time, you know, to... drum up, you know, courage and rah and let's go die for our country kind of vibes, and it was emphasized a lot that masculinity is the key to success and for the country, you know, for whatever.
Well, my friend shared this guy's TikTok, and one of his videos says, a man who fears being seen as feminine is a man scared of being treated the same way he treats women. I wish I could tell you who this was, because his name is not on any of these screenshots that somebody took, but props to this dude.
Aw, man. Wow. Yeah.
So, I brought that up because you were mentioning the issues with femininity in the post-Civil War era, but obviously it's still an issue that we have today.
Oh, yeah, toxic masculinity. Yeah. It's like, that's when you are, that's when a nation, like, that's what happens when a nation is birthed out of toxic masculinity and racism and fucking hatred for anyone that's not a cisgendered white man. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's unfortunate, you know, if you are a cisgendered white man, you know, just it's, you know, I don't know. I feel bad. I feel bad sometimes because it's like I rage so hard, but I know they're not all bad. God damn it. But like they're fucking privileged as hell. And you know what? It's not people who are alive today that were the issue. It's like everything else that has happened before now. So how about you calm the fuck down with your white guilt, people?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, I was keep mentioning TikTok. I've been on TikTok a lot lately. But I saw this other shit. It's been good things on TikTok, though. Follow Indigenous TikTok. I'm on all kinds of fun TikToks. Lesbian TikTok.
There's so much out there.
Anyway.
There's so much out there.
One of the videos, this guy was talking about, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm white, and, like, yeah, my parents didn't own slaves, or, you know, that kind of stuff, but it's not that you didn't own slaves, or maybe your parents didn't, but the people who look like you did these things, and in order for us to stop continuing this toxic behavior, you as a white person have to, like, take responsibility and, like, try to actively, it's not just being like, well, I didn't do it, so it's not my fault. You have to actively try and prevent it from continuing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, obviously, if you're alive today, you did not own slaves, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, or you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not racist. Well, one, let's really examine that, first of all.
And why do you feel the need to declare that?
Yeah.
Be not racist, and that'll let everyone know that you're not a fucking racist.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep. And so, I don't remember why I brought that up. I feel like there was a reason.
White guilt. And
oh, yeah. So when we talk about these things, it's like, yeah, it's not like we automatically assume that you're terrible because you're white, but, like, you also have to, like, helped.
We're white.
I know, right?
Come on. We can talk about this shit. Like, it's the system of oppression. You know, that's what it is. So, if you want to take credit for that with your little white guilt and your sad man tears, like, fucking fine. Fucking fine. Like, I don't care. I honestly, it's just like, but that's not our intention, you know? It's like, just get some perspective and also, like, Google shit more often and, like, maybe don't be a dick. Like,
and maybe, like,
it's not that hard.
Things that you say before you say them.
Yeah, or like people who aren't as privileged as you, you know? Like, fuck.
Put yourself in other people's shoes, but not just, like, with your own perspective. Like, try to actually see from other people's perspective. But anyways, you know.
One thing that I did see on TikTok that it's, like, I just needed to hear again was, it was, like, what's one habit, you know, or skill that you've learned that changed your life. And it was this person being, like, not taking things personally. If someone doesn't text me back, I assume it's about them. I'm not going to take anything personally until someone specifically tells me
it's my problem.
This is because of you.
Yeah.
Or because of what you said to me, or because of how you treated me. Everything else is not personal, and I'm going to assume that it has something to do with them. And if they can't tell me, I'm not going to take it personally. You have to tell me, you know? And I mean, like, I get that all that is, like, a little problematic, but it's, you have to, depending on who's listening. God, fuck, I hit my mic. but it's, you know, it's just really the sense of just, like,
I don't know, though. I've been taking more of that attitude on as well because it helps with
it's
my
not
anxiety.
About you. Exactly. Exactly. And that's, and that's this whole thing. It's, like, talking about history and talking about why things are the way that things are is, like, it's not personal. Like, it's called, like, learning and addressing
and growing
and growing
be
from
better.
That knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it, like, Oof, so ragey. Yeah.
We're always a little ragey, I feel like.
I know. I know. But it's okay. So, back to this. So, around the early 20th century, newspapers in Washington and Baltimore had documented the use of family terms to denote rank within the ball's participants. So this is where we get our queer drag terms. The term mother was reserved for an older person that was a mentor to the younger participants. I am not a drag queen. I appreciate drag queens. I go to drag shows. I don't pretend to know all of the things about drag queens, but I do believe that that term is still used today. Although it is used more loosely today, up until the 1960s, the term queen was reserved for someone in a position of honor and leadership in the community. So I think, you know, now we refer to those who do drag, because I know, like, you know, women that do drag, they're drag kings, mm-hmm. and that's just the, you know, the terminology when I was on the queer scene, back in the day. I used to be a burlesque dancer, guys. I miss it so much. I miss it so much. I want to do it again so badly. That was like the most fun. I mean, well, I did it. Okay, so I didn't really do it that much. No, I just ended up being a go-go dancer because that's what happened. But I did work at a gay club and got to be a go-go dancer for a little while, and that was seriously like living my best life. Like, that was so much fun. Did have some creepy dudes, because creepy dudes still go to gay bars, and it's upsetting. But yes, so we would have a talent show every Tuesday, you know, and it would be drag kings and drag queens. So, you know, there's that. There's my little tidbit mm-hmm. of the little knowledge that I have from years ago. Also a fun fact.
Yes, throw out all the fun facts.
Smooth segue, Emily. Thank you. Two of Swan's younger brothers attended his balls in full drag, which demonstrated to historians like Channing that this group truly was an extension of Swan's family.
Oh, I love it.
It's a safe space for queer folks to express themselves through art, through dance. It's
yep.
Everything you should be arrested for. That's a fucking joke. All right, don't come after me. after William Swan's retirement from the drag ball scene, which was somewhere after 1900, he passed away in 1925. He was... I can't do math on the spot.
Yes, you can. I believe in you.
No, I can't. I wrote it down. Oh, wow. 67.
It was 67 or 57?
67. That was really painful. So many pages hit the mic.
Can't wait to edit that.
Oh, sorry. Yes, so when he retired from drag, his little brother, Daniel Swan, continued the family tradition in Washington, and Daniel Swan provided costumes for the drag community there for almost 50 years until his death in 1954.
Jesus.
Not that fucking long ago. I just hate it because, like, people in America are like, oh, we have so much history, like Revolutionary War history. And I'm like, bitch, that's not even history. That happened like yesterday.
It was a blip.
That literally just happened. Have you been to Asia? I haven't, but like, they fucking trump everybody, literally. Yeah. Like, their preservation of history and culture is like insane. Ridiculous.
It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I know other places too, but I feel like they beat everyone. Like, they just have so much shit. I remember someone...
They beat everyone.
Yeah, it was like, I saw this somewhere. I can't remember where I saw it, but they were, like, on a tour of, like, some ruins in Europe. And they were like, this is, like, 1500 BC or 1500 AD or something. And they were like, it's so old. And, like, the... there were tourists from Hong Kong there, and they were like, wait, this isn't 1500 BC. This is AD. Are you kidding me? It's not even that old. Like,
it's so true, though. It's insane.
It is true. Yeah.
I mean, even so, living in England, when people say, like, oh, you know, going back to the 1600s, I'm like, let's go back to fucking Boudicca in the year
Yeah. Two. Yeah, let's talk about 11th, 12th century shit, you know? Yeah. Today. That was me finding the page, or finding my spot on the page, being like, focus. There it is. Say it.
All right, do it. Say it.
Today, more than a century after William Swann's last known ball, the contemporary ballroom scene still maintains the same basic format as the House of Swann.
Aww.
And like I said, although the Stonewall Uprising in 1969 is often seen as the beginning of the fight for queer liberation, it is definitely a point, a tipping point, a pivotal point. It is absolutely a what's another word for point? It's a like a landmark. Tip, it's a
an event.
It's a it is it obviously
birthmark,
you know.
I don't even know.
Obviously, yeah, Stonewall counts too, guys. Okay, it's not saying that Stonewall doesn't fucking count. But the discovery of Swann's courageous life forces us to rethink when the movement began, where it truly came from, and who its first leaders are. And this was all discovered by Channing Gerard Joseph. So it's just, it's again, just like we were talking about, you know, it's like these sensationalist articles, problematic as fuck, yes. Source of real printed factual history that actually happened and that these people were existing and defending their right to gather, defending their communities, and also that they were being, you know, criminalized for living
their lives.
Authentic lives, for being born into their bodies, and for just for literally just existing. And like, and that is important to understand as a part of history. Channing Gerard Joseph argues, and I agree, that, quote, Swann and his house of butlers, coachmen, and cooks laid the foundations for contemporary queer celebration and protest at a time when an entirely new form of freedom and self-determination was developing for African Americans. Swann and his family were the first Americans to regularly hold balls and the first to fight for their right to do so. In 1896, after being convicted and sentenced to 10 months in jail for holding a drag ball, okay, he was arrested on the false charge of, quote, keeping a disorderly house, which is a euphemism for running a brothel for gathering and celebrating their culture. Cool. Swann demanded a pardon from President Grover Cleveland for holding the drag ball. And even though he was denied, this too was an incredibly historic act.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this made Swann the earliest recorded American to take specific legal steps to defend the queer community's right to gather without threat of criminalization, suppression, or police violence. And that is a quote from Channing's article. But I just, I feel like it's like disrespectful just to say his first name, because I'm just like so much like, thank you for telling us about this. You know, like, and someone else, you know, found this too, but it's like he really dove into the research to make it part of, you know, teachable history. That's like, this fucking happened. Demanded a pardon from the president. Like, I don't know. I'm just
after
like,
after just coming out of the Civil War and already being oppressed for being a black man, now also trying to fight for his rights as a queer black man. You know, I don't know. I just think that's,
it's just important. It's important to know. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's fucking
coming out day
shit.
And
Jeez.
People coming out is still a real fucking concern. Yeah. You know, people's lives are at stake here. It literally is life and death for people in the queer community. And it is so upsetting. It is so important to know that it's just important that this is not erased from history and that this is part of the conversation.
It's not swept under the rug and it's not,
Like me, you might be sitting here thinking after hearing all about this, well, how can I learn more about William Dorsey Swan and his impact on America? Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, Channing Gerard Joseph is releasing a biography about William Swan called The House of Swan, Where Slaves Became Queens.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great title.
I really, really want to read it. I signed up on a couple of different sites to be like, please let me know when this comes out, because personally I was not able to find a specific release date. But all of the articles that I found that it was going to come out in 2021 were published in 2018. So there is a chance that the pandemic might have affected their projected timeline. But like I said, it's like I signed up on a bunch of websites to be like, can you notify me about this? Like, I need to know when this book comes out so I can get it, download it, do whatever I need to do. Channing Gerard Joseph is also under contract with Oscar-nominated director Lee Daniels, who directed Precious, The United States versus Billie Holiday, and Oscar-winning producer Bruce Cohen, who won Best Picture for American Beauty.
So the Cohen brothers.
I'm like,
I mean, but the Cohen brothers did, didn't they do Oh Brother Where Art Thou? Pretty sure that's
Cohen brothers. I don't know who does things.
Okay, anyways. I don't know who does things.
I really don't. I'm bad with names, but,
Yeah, that was the Cohen brothers did Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Did they also do Raising Arizona? Or is that another set?
Actually, you know what? I think that Coen Brothers, they did The Big Lebowski, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, Raising Arizona.
Yeah. Okay.
True Grit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, interesting. It's definitely, I am not, like, a big, you know, I don't, like, I feel like this is weird to say, but it's, like, I don't really believe in the Oscars or, like, award shows. Like, I think it's all pretty much kind of, like...
Yeah, that's a... Dude, no, that's a podcast
topic. It's a whole other topic.
Yeah, that's an actual whole other podcast topic. Don't go too far into that, because...
Yeah. Anyways, so... And nor do I really, like, go to the movies or, like, want to watch new movies because of, like, it's all so overproduced and it's all just, like, it just bugs me, you know, the amount of money that it's dumped into certain things. Mm-hmm. I get it, you know, wanting to, like, watch and escape something. Like, I'm not going to shit on you for that. But it's, like, that's why I personally don't get much enjoyment out of it. But there's definitely, like, no way I'm missing this movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that I want to see. And if, you know, like, considering the research and work that Channing Gerard Joseph has put, you know, into making this story known and putting this story out there... and making sure that it's a recognized part of history, like, I can definitely say, like, I'm super excited to see this come to fruition, and I, so, fuck yeah, so, fucking movie, fucking book, I looked it up on Goodreads, if you guys want to go on there and be like, let me know when it comes out, please, I just am gonna plan on Googling it, like, every day until I see some news, but yeah, that's William Dorsey Swan.
That's awesome, that was a good story, I like that.
Fuck yeah.
It's very interesting that we did choose very similar timelines.
Right?
Like, it's very close, yeah.
I'm, like, over here, like, wow, we really just, like, on two different coasts?
Yeah,
you know,
and that's
you got one
true.
In the middle, like,
and
fucking,
to be
exactly,
clear,
queer history matters.
Yeah, to be clear, my good friend Dave Wolf, he suggested this topic, so...
Nice.
That's what put me onto this, and I was super interested in the different stories about this and the Wild Wild West. But yeah, so thank you, Dave, for that. But thank you, Dave, for the topic. And
yes, thank you for letting us stroll, letting us roll, roll into the.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyways, sorry about that, Dave. my apologies. But yeah, super interesting. I just, like, when you mentioned the timeline, I was like, fuck, this is all happening at the same time.
I don't know if we mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but we definitely wanted to do, like, a Pride episode.
Yeah, happy Pride, you guys. Pride episode.
Happy Pride.
Coming out Pride weekend, or maybe the day after, because Pride weekend, or, like, Pride doesn't end at Pride weekend, okay?
It does not, no. But, yeah, we wanted to make sure and include some Pride stories because it's important history that is often overlooked, so.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, I learned something today that I'd never knew.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, so, hopefully that's the goal of this podcast also.
That's what it's all about, guys. Fucking hokey pokey and out here. Oh, that was a look.
I was gonna say, have you seen that stupid buffering? God, I keep talking about TikTok. The buffering filter on TikTok, and they use it to like somebody says something stupid, and it's like you're buffering because you don't want to respond.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a filter, but now that gives me some
ideas. Yeah, no, I need to use it. It's like, oh man, that got me. I couldn't respond.
Yes. Oh, speaking of Pride, I don't think I mentioned this earlier.
No, you didn't.
Okay, yay. Guys, by the way, I do stand-up comedy. It's been a weird year this year, and I started right before the pandemic. But yes, I am a stand-up comedian, and I am going to be performing at the Reclaim Pride event at Townsend Park in Albany on Sunday, June 27th. I don't know if this is going to come out before then or on then. So, on Sunday, June 27th. And, yeah. If anyone is near the Albany area, fucking come out.
Yeah, do
and
it.
Support some queer artists. There's going to be other artists there. But comedy starts around 2:40, 2:45. And then I'll be going up at 3:30. Super fucking stoked. It's my first show in upstate New York. And I am so excited to be performing for queer people and allies and just being at a fucking awesome event. So hell yeah.
We're very excited. I wish I could be there. I'm going to make her take a video so that I can see it.
I'm going to try my best to not be obnoxious about it. But maybe I'll just take up space.
You know what? Yeah. Do that. Okay? Do it.
Oh,
but yeah,
man.
We're very excited for you. I say we. It's a collective me and our wanderers. But yes, we're very excited for you.
Oh, we should share it on the
we're gonna,
Facebook.
Yes, and okay. The Instagram.
Yes. I'm so excited.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I've been hardcore stressing about it all week, but yeah, no, I'm officially excited about
good.
It.
I'm very excited for you. I just wish I could be there.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good at segueing away. Really good at promoting myself in general. That's a special skill that
yes.
I have for sure. But yeah, so that's really cool and I'm really excited. And, remember that one time when like me and Sarah were like, hey, we're going to ask people to send us stuff because like, if we ask nicely, they'll do that for us. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. But also no one has sent
us anything.
No,
come on. We can't be the only weirdos out here. Like, geez.
Oh yes, we can be. All right. So I'm going to do, I've got some RU normals today. So, like, we started a little thing where we wanted to, like, get your, like, secret wonderments.
Yeah.
And our plan was to put it in the context of, like, something silly. And so I have one that I wanted to share with you today. When running out or jogging outside, do you wait till there's no one around to turn back?
Oh,
or...
yeah, that was...
do you sweet talk your plants when you water them?
Obviously.
Do
you lay on your floor after a stressful day, or are you normal?
There's no room on my floor to lay down, Sarah.
You lay down on the carpet downstairs. I know you do that, because I've seen you do that.
Okay, fine. All right. When you have a good idea, do you immediately worry that it might be the last good idea you will ever have, or are you normal?
You know, though, at some point, this is not to be, like, a super downer, but at some point, we will all have the last good idea that we will ever have.
Oh. You know,
Always here to bring in the dark humor for you.
I do. I love it, though. Now, when friends or, like, family come over, like, and they don't understand your relationship with your dog, do you use your dog voice, or... No, that was a bad one. No. Fuck that one. Here's the reason, though, is because, like, I get, like, self-conscious that people are gonna think, like, that I care about my pet. Like,
I know, I'm was gonna say, I used I'm to such care, an asshole. And then I stopped, because I use my, I have a really, so, like, there's my dog voice, but then I have a really extra dumb cat voice that I use on Yahtzee. I'd be like, yeah. He's so handsome, I just loved a boy, oh, he's such a good boy, oh, I where's just, the paws? Like, it's ridiculously stupid. Not,
though? It's like...
He's so fluffy.
Everyone does it. I say that
all the time, too.
Yeah, it's like, I swear to God, sometimes when people come over, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that thing, that's Jill. Don't look at her. She's cute. I love her so much.
I love her tiny face.
I love her. I would never hit my dog. I love her too much. But literally, it's like, I'm like, hey, Ma. What's up, Boogaloo?
Yeah, exactly. That's like when I go
what's
see...
What are you doing today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she booped me earlier.
Did she?
She booped me right on my nose. And I was like, oh, my God. That's a voice that I do for cute and or tiny things. Oh, like, if I find a tiny pine cone on a hike, I'm going to pick it up and be like, oh, my God, do you see how tiny this pine cone is? This is the tiniest pine cone I just, ever did see.
Mine just, I just do a high-pitched voice. I'm like, guys, look how tiny this is. Oh, my God.
You're like a blue jay.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my God.
Anyways, so that's our segment, and we're going to have fun just telling ourselves things. So,
yes,
if you want to get in on the fun,
yeah, please tell us weird things, too.
That we can relate to, God damn it.
We're not the only weird ones out here. We know everybody, we all exist.
We're on TikTok. We have proof of it. There are more of us.
It's so true. Dude, I'm not going to lie, though. Like, okay, you know, everybody can talk about, like, so social media being bad, but boy, do I feel validated on TikTok. Like,
God
I go
damn
on
it.
TikTok,
ain't that the truth?
Tells me about body positivity and, like, fucking ADHD problems that I thought was just a me fault, and it's actually
literally,
a thing.
Literally. You don't know how many times I've, like, stumbled across something, and I was like, oh, shit, I completely relate to this. And then I'm like, oh, this is an ADHD
thing. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, that might answer some questions.
Or there's the ones where, like, I was scrolling through, and there was just this one video where this guy, he does all of his videos, and he just runs at the camera, and is like, you're amazing and great, until he, like, slams into the camera.
Hello,
like, he, like, screams and yells at it.
Yeah,
there is another one where it was like, I don't know, they'll just be like, hey, you look really beautiful today. Go have an amazing day. I'm like, thanks. I will. Appreciate it. You know?
Yes.
Like,
I do love that.
Social media does have its issues, but man, TikTok really just makes me feel better.
It's same. I found this TikTok. It was Darcy Michael, and I lost so much time watching almost every single one of his TikToks. The only reason why I didn't watch them all is because he's a stand-up comedian and he has a special that I believe is on YouTube. And so I didn't want to watch all of those bits. I want to watch the full special.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones I didn't watch. I watched every single other one. And it's so cute because it's like him and his husband. And it's like, so they have this little bit, like, pop quiz for my stoner husband, and it's, like, shit that he, like, forgets and stuff like that. But literally, I was like, oh my God, this is so relatable. Like, I find this hilarious because this is, like, my life. That's so funny. And then I found the ones where they talk about him having ADHD, and I was like, uh-huh. Yes, maybe, probably I am too.
Yep. I got on some other ones about, like, my friend Claire sent me some about the morality of cleaning and how, like, we tie being clean to being moral.
Oh, and shit.
So, yeah, that's why, you know, we were talking about being messy and stuff, and she's like, there's these TikToks. I'll have to send them to you.
The morality of cleaning. That's crazy.
So there's this, you know, thing that we've internalized that where, like, if you're clean, you're a better person. And I'm not talking clean, like, yeah, make sure you're not, like, disgusting in an unhealthy way. But, like, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
Put away.
Yeah, if I, you know, have some dishes in the sink at the end of the night, and instead of doing those dishes, I relax because I need some mental, you know, a mental break. And, yeah, like, it's acknowledging that, like, you know what? I can leave this for a later date. I need to take care of my mental health. You know what I mean? And it doesn't make me a bad person. Having laundry all over the place doesn't make me a bad person. Just means, like, well, I haven't had fucking time to do it yet. You know what I mean?
Not only do I internalize the feeling of being a bad person, but it's also, like, the, you know, tendency to make excuses or to, like, feeling the need to defend myself to myself.
Defend yourself to yourself. Exactly.
Just having that anxiety because of this, because it is a thing. I never thought of it put that way, the morality of being clean, but it's, like, that is so true. Like, it's just, wow, that's, yeah, really got me. Because, right? I'm like, yeah, because it's, I do really struggle with that, with anxiety over things that it's like, I, you know, okay, so that's another thing that I saw on this TikTok was, you know, like him, like, leaving stuff and forgetting and, like, going and doing stuff. Okay, that is, like, a regular part of my life, and it makes me feel bad. You know, it makes me feel like I'm flaky or like there's something wrong with me, mm-hmm, when, like, really it's just like, that's just, you know, how my brain works sometimes.
Yep.
Is it not the most helpful? Sure. But, like, sometimes. But, like, that doesn't make me a bad person. You, yep, know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, social media has its downsides, but boy, does TikTok really, like, build me back up.
Like, mental health awareness check.
I know. Mental health TikTok, man, it's where it's at. Positivity TikTok, fucking body positivity TikTok.
Yeah.
Love it all. Love it all.
Yep. I'm about it. Well, thanks for joining us this week, everyone, on our special Pride, take care of ourselves and our mental health, and we're nice, cute, beautiful people.
Yes.
And just because we have a little bit of mess or stress does not make us bad people. We have a valid, you know, ability to exist in our own bodies, and that is not a criminal act. No,
yep,
matter who tells you.
Yep.
So.
Yes.
Voila.
Voila, indeed.
Yeah, so if you guys like us, you guys can, like, write or review us. We would really fucking love that. Please, we just want a star.
Give us the stars.
Just a star.
I think I'm going to start individually harassing my friends. Be like, hey, can you make sure to review us? Just individually.
So if you're our friend and you're listening to this, watch out.
Yeah.
I'm coming to get you.
I am. Coming at you.
I will just, like, I will, yeah, I don't even know. But yes, please do that. We would like it, and it would mean a lot. And if you would like us, you can follow us on Facebook at the Wonderlust Podcast. We are on Instagram at wonderlust.pod.
We have a time capsule Twitter at Pod Wonderlust.
That I always dread bringing up because I still have not ever logged in.
I told you, it's a scientific experiment. We're doing it as a time capsule, so we will see.
It's an art installation,
yeah,
actually. it's a commentary on the modern expectations of two people having a podcast, and, like, it doesn't make us bad people if we don't tweet, okay?
Yes. And it's also, at the same time, it's also a story about these two people who have a podcast and want to do it together, but also have a fear, a weird fear of Twitter and social media in general. We're yeah, also both very skilled at promoting ourselves, as we've discovered.
Yeah. But we'll keep at it. We're still going to be here.
Yeah. And you can email us at thewonderlustpodcast@gmail.com. And also, please, please, please visit our wonderful website, thewonderlustpodcast.com. It is magnificent, and we love it. And there's also a contact form there if you want to reach out to us there. As always, we do love hearing from everybody. And, yeah. Ugh, I hate saying that now. Every time I do that, it makes me think of you being like, all right, Dad.
You know, being like Dad doesn't make you a bad person, Sarah.
I mean, you sneeze like him, so I guess
I'll do. I scared Mom the other day, and she was like, she literally goes, that hurt my ears. And I was like, why do you think I hold it in all the time? Sometimes they're too powerful, and they come out. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's a person that gives me crap for not fully sneezing, and they're like, I don't understand how you can do that. And I'm like, we haven't known each other that long yet.
That we haven't reached level 23. This is that
special new getting to know you phase still.
Still.
I'm going to keep it that way for a while. I had to explain what happened to us the other night where I was incapacitated and I was like, obviously, I'm a werewolf. It's the full moon. You get it. Blood vibes. And I was like, oh man, I'm feeling really bad. I have to go. And I was talking to this person about it, and they were like, oh, so you were having cramps? And I was like, here's the thing. They were like, you don't know things about periods. There's so much you don't know about periods, and I'm not going to be the guy to be like, by the way, this is the whole story. Like, fuck no.
But on that note.
Hey, Wonders.
It's time for us to wander off.